2-Minute Drill. You're listening to the 2-Minute Drill with fantasy guru Joey T and your host, Kurt Cross. The 2-Minute Drill is a football fantasy podcast and is not meant to encourage betting or wagering. Any stats or tips mentioned are for entertainment purposes only. Joey T and your host, Kurt Cross, do not condone or endorse sports betting or wagering. And now, fantasy guru Joey T and your host, Kurt Cross.
Welcome to week 2 of the 2-Minute Drill. I am your host, Curtis Cross, and your resident fantasy guru is none other than Mr. Joey T. We want to remind you that this podcast is for entertainment purposes only, and we do not endorse or encourage you to go drop a truckload of money into gambling. This is the 2-Minute Drill. He's Joey T. I'm Kurt Cross, and we're going to get into some good stuff today. Joey T, what's up, my man?
What's good, Curtis, man? Just looking forward to a better week this week than last week, you know?
The kid took
a couple lumps, but all good.
You bounce back, though, don't you?
Oh, yeah, we bounce back. It's a long season, you know?
That's
two,
what it is.
2 weeks is not all of a sudden you know what your squad is. A lot of these players are late bloomers. A lot of things can happen. So, you know, we'll see what's up. But I promise you next week's going to be bigger.
All right. Well, we got to tell the people how to reach us. It's Joey T and Kurt at gmail.com. If you're finding us for the first time today, welcome. And to our loyal listeners, we welcome you back. Joey T is our resident fantasy football guru. He is going to walk you through the world of fantasy football for week 2 of the NFL season with a look ahead to week 3. How's the family, man? How's the week?
Family's doing good, you know, kind of getting back in the swing of things. Kids had a good little weekend. We got to get together with some friends and, it's been a good week. So
I heard that the Twins whipped you in fantasy matchup this week.
The Twins always whip me. That's all they constantly do is give me a hard time, telling me what I'm doing wrong. They give me the business on the regular.
But they're daddy's girls.
Not as much as their big sister, Olivia, but the Twins, they'll take turns. 1 week one likes me, the next week the other.
Oh, man. So you good guy, bad guy?
I guess. I don't know. I just think they like, you know, they like to switch off. It's like a tag team.
Wow. You got your hands full over there. You got your hands full. Well, look, week 2 is in the books. Joey T, once again, your fantasy football leadership got Chelsea a week 2 win. Lamar Jackson and that Buffalo Bills defense, you know, / special teams did her pretty well. So we can chalk up another win for our girl thanks to you. I want to put some context here, though. We talked in the offseason about my family's fantasy basketball league, and Chelsea won that. She beat me in the championship.
You know, I meant to circle back around, but
I'm circling, Joey. Yes, if you let me, you ain't gotta poke the bear. I'm gonna admit it. So she went undefeated in that NBA fantasy season for the WNBA. She's undefeated so far in the NFL fantasy season. She knows not what it is to lose.
She doesn't. I mean, that's what she does.
And under
she's
your guide,
winner. She's a winner.
Under your guide, it's going to stay that way. But I'm going to turn this program over to you now. I'll ask a couple of questions, but jump into fantasy football. Wrap up week 2 and open up week 3, sir.
Well, we had some big performances and some duds, as always, you know. The aforementioned Lamar Jackson, quarterback for the Ravens, went nuts. You know, he's starting to show a little bit more what he can do through the air. You know, he's making himself tons of money here, you know.
I mean, he
did not sign that contract. He did not take the money that was offered. He's gambling on himself big, and all he's doing is just watching that thermometer go up. Like, he had 318 passing yards and 3 touchdowns and 119 yards on the ground with another rushing touchdown. I mean, that's he's a unique quarterback in that sense. Having
0 interceptions,
20 yards, on the ground and a touchdown, plus doing big things through the air. I mean, he is just doing wild right now. It's nice that he has a pretty decent supporting cast and pass receivers. I think this Rashad Bateman wide receiver is really going to – they're going to grow together, and that's really making some changes for him. So that's good. Like you said, Chelsea had a big fantasy win this week on the back of Lamar, so I'm sure he did that for a lot of folks.
I got 2 Ravens questions, though. Here's the first one. Who was the last quarterback that bet on themselves? Flacco did that. He won a Super Bowl, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. And what's up with that Baltimore defense, man? It's not what it used to be, right?
Well, you know, I mean, it's one of those things, you know. It's hard to, like, the Ravens have been really good at getting players to produce early and like finding players throughout the whole of the draft, not okay. just the top of the draft. And you know, sometimes that can be hard. Sometimes you draft a guy in the second, third, fourth round and they don't hit. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And then there's injuries, and then there's a lot of different things that can happen. So you know, it's not just because your defense is good most of the time doesn't mean you're guaranteed to have a rock star defense every
Ray
year.
Lewis and Terrell Suggs ain't back there no more.
No, no. Okay. And that's yeah, and that's the thing. When you have those kind of staples holding it down for so long, like you don't like it makes it easy, you right, know, right. having those studs.
All right, what else you got? Who else is putting – I think I know a name you're about to say.
Well, I mean, you know, I just said Lamar Jackson, but I got to give a shout-out to Tua Tagovailoa. I mean, this dude, I mean, he had 469 passing yards, 6 touchdowns. He did have 2 interceptions, but when you have six touchdowns and almost 700 yards, like, those right. interceptions are nothing. Everybody – the reason I mentioned him specifically, too, is because he's had a lot of criticism since coming out. Yeah, he was drafted a little higher than people kind of expected. They dogged him. He didn't show. He was injured his first year. He didn't have a whole lot to work with year two. You give him some weapons, and he's really shutting the haters up, you know. So that's good to see from him. And then, of course, you know, can't mention him with 6 touchdowns and 469 passing yards without mentioning the wide receiver 2 and wide receiver 3 of the week and Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, respectively. They both had 11 catches, 2 touchdowns. Tyreek Hill eked him out with 190 receiving yards. Jalen Waddle had 171. Most of this was in, at least for Tyreek, was in the second half. But those are big numbers. You're lucky to get those from one wide receiver, much less 2. So
in a week, yeah.
Yeah, in a week. That's ridiculous. And then got a shout-out Nick Chubb as well. I mean – my man was dogged because he had a really good, efficient rushing stat line week one, but he just didn't score any touchdowns. All those went to Kareem Hunt. And this week, I guess the Browns, you know, brass was like, hold up, you know, Nick Chubb's our dude. He's the guy we're paying big money to. He's going to get some touchdowns this week. So he
saw that this week.
Yeah, he had 87 rushing yards and 3 touchdowns. And he even got 3 little passes for 26 yards through the air. So. In a year where we've seen running back production down,
okay,
like Nick Chubb put up some big numbers this week. And, you know, like I said, I mean, wide receivers have really been – I got a text from my boy just saying, you know, in the middle of the week, Sunday was like, wide receivers are going nuts. And he's not wrong. Like, wide receivers this year are going crazy. And running backs have been – some of them have been – you know, mediocre, like production-wise, like fantasy point-wise, but you're not getting as many of those booms like Nick Chubb as we've had in the past. So it's nice to see Nick Chubb putting in that work. A couple of guys that disappointed, Matt Uh-oh. Ryan. Matt Ryan. We're talking about a little bit about quarterbacks today. Yeah. So Matt Ryan was supposed to be this upgrade for Indy over Carson Wentz. Everybody was so sure that Carson Wentz is this awful, terrible quarterback, even though his numbers were pretty good last year in Indy, that Matt Ryan was going to be this, like, upgrade. And he hasn't been so far.
So far, he's not that dude?
No. No, I mean, he had 195 passing yards, 0 touchdowns, and 3 interceptions. I saw stat lines where he got, depending on scoring, he got negative points for people.
Stop, Joey. Yeah. Joey, yeah. So he's taking you the wrong way.
And everybody started him. If you had him, you started him because it was a good matchup.
Uh-huh.
So everybody was starting him, and he just did nothing for you. I mean, I had Paris Campbell, who I was told I was sold all this glitter and lace during the offseason that he was crushing training camp, and he had a real good connection with Matt Ryan. And then this week, Michael Pittman's out. I'm starting Paris Campbell, and he put up a goose egg. So Ooh. It's like – this whole situation is troubling. Michael Pittman and Jonathan Taylor, as of right now, are the only Indiana Colts skill players you can even start right now.
Who's worse, the Colts or the Falcons?
I'd say the Colts.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh man.
And the Falcons are putting up. You know, they're competing. They're competing. Like, I'm not seeing a whole lot of anything from the Colts right now.
Wow.
It's gross.
Tell it like you see it, Joey T.
I will. Number 2 is actually one of my offseason darlings, one of the guys that I have the most shares of. Chase Edmonds, mm-hmm. running back for the Miami Dolphins, on a team that saw over 500 yards in offense.
Okay.
Chase Edmonds didn't get any of those. He had 33 yards on the ground and one reception for 8 yards. And this whole backfield, they're not running the ball a whole lot really yet. Now, I believe that's a change. You can't cut Chase Edmonds. If he's on your team, you can't really start him either unless you have to, of course. Like, you know what I mean? If you have no other options, then start him. But you might want to put – if you have anything else, then put him on your bench until you see a little bit more, because the head coach was a Shanahan disciple, McDaniels, and he's going to want to run the ball eventually. He's not going to be putting the ball into his hands and make him throw it downfield.
For 500 yards.
Constantly, a week. Yes. And Chase Edmonds, I still think, is a talented running back. He's just tough to start right now, but that doesn't mean that 3 weeks from now he's not, you know, running like crazy. That's how the NFL works. It's a long season. Right. Sometimes last year we saw the Philadelphia Eagles throw more than almost any team in the league in the first half of the year. It wasn't working for them. They switched halfway through and then became one of the most run-heavy teams in the league. Okay. So things like that can happen. And as long as Chase Edmonds stays healthy, I think he's going to be a part of that offense going down the road.
So what I'm hearing is long season, no knee-jerk reactions. We're not cutting someone just because they have one bad week.
Yeah. And especially talented guys. Okay, I mean, there's some guys you can cut, you know, if they have bad weeks, because, you know, you're like, oh, like
you only took a chance on
Paris
anyway.
Campbell. I'm cutting Paris Campbell. You gave me goose egg, you're going to get cut.
He's not that dude, you know? For you, huh?
No.
All right.
But like Chase Edmonds, I'm going to keep, especially because there's so few running backs in the league, you know, you want to. That's a scarce position, so you want strength in numbers there.
Wait a minute, Joey. Are you saying Paris Campbell gave you the same numbers that I would have given you on Sunday?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I think so.
So I'm NFL material.
You are.
When compared to Paris Campbell.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, go for it,
man. You're like Mark Wahlberg.
I don't know what that means, but sure.
You ain't seen the movie Invincible?
No,
Mark Wahlberg.
I don't watch a lot of movies, Joey.
All right, man. I know.
I've seen Star Wars.
You too big for that.
Star Wars. Have you seen Star Wars?
Did you see Darnell Mooney put up a negative four passing yard?
So I did better than him. I did better than him.
You did. Well, he did catch the ball, though.
Oh, okay. Joey, stop. Joey,
Is that
a microaggression?
I'm not saying if the ball got thrown to you, you couldn't catch it. My thing is that on the NFL field,
I got to be on the field.
The DB is not going to let you catch the ball. Like, you're not going to, you know what I mean? He's going to jam you at the line of scrimmage. You'll probably fall over.
I'm going to jam him back.
You know what I mean? I'm
going to get a PI. He's going to get a PI messing with me.
He'll get a PI. He'll probably get ejected. There'll be a little double.
There were some ejections.
He'll be suspended for the next week, like Mike Evans.
Right. Yeah, yes,
it'll
will.
Be, yeah.
You ain't got me doing a fly pattern.
No. You and Darnell Mooney are neither doing fly patterns because
what did he get you?
He got one reception for -4 yards. So literally in a PPR league, he got you 0.6 points, less than a point. And in non-PPR leagues, he got you -0.4. So,
okay, all right.
And this is a weird situation because of game script. Like, they were playing from behind, but they only let Justin Fields throw 11 passes. Mm. Usually when you're playing from behind, you want to throw the ball more so you stop the clock.
Get in the game.
And you have the more opportunities to score points. Therefore, right. Tightening the deficit, but they didn't do that. They just ran the ball with David Montgomery and guys like Darnell Mooney, who's the only proven wide receiver on the team, did not get to produce. And a lot of people have very high hopes for Darnell Mooney this week, and a lot of people are starting him. But if you have Darnell Mooney, you can't start him until you start seeing
something more. Yeah. Okay,
he's a guy that you need to put on your bench, and if you have a light bench and you know in a redraft league and you need that roster spot, you can even cut him because wide receivers are, you know, there's a lot more wide receivers than there are running backs, like I said. Right, Chase Edmonds is a little bit more valuable because of this.
Okay, cool.
So then as far as, like, waiver wire pickups go, this week, there's not a whole lot of, like, screaming names, you know what I mean? Like, my knee-jerk reaction was you want to get Darrell Williams, the running back for the Arizona Cardinals, because James Conner went out with the injury. But everything I'm hearing now is that injury is pretty minor, and he'll probably be playing. Darrell Williams is a good insurance policy. He had 8 carries for 59 yards and a touchdown on the ground. He had three targets for two catches and like 3 yards. But he had a 7.3 yards per carry average, so that's a strong rushing stat. I think he's going to be the guy they want to give more rushing opportunities to if James Conner were to go down. And let's face it, James Conner's had injury issues in the past. So those are the kind of running backs that you know, it's not a bad idea to handcuff. I don't love handcuffing if I don't have to, but if you have roster spots, then that's okay. I'd grab Darrell Williams, and then on, you know, a lighter note, you know, Benjamin. He had the same amount of rush attempts at 8, but he only had 31 yards and no touchdown. So he's a lot less efficient. But he did have a few more. He had 4 targets for 3 yards. And he had three catches for 2 yards, excuse me, on 4 targets.
Okay.
So, I mean, he might be more the passing down back. It might be a little bit of a timeshare. But Darrell Williams is the back to have if you're a James Conner owner. But, I mean, it's not the end of the world. I think, you know, Raheem Mostert is a guy I would add. None of these guys are guys you're adding and plugging in your lineup like Jeff Wilson was last week, you know.
Right.
Raheem Mostert, I mentioned Chase Edmonds earlier. Raheem Mostert actually had more rushing attempts than Chase Edmonds. And he has familiarity with the head coach from their days in San Francisco. So maybe that's why he's getting a little bit more love right now. And he's relatively efficient. He had 4.64 yards per carry, 11 carries for 51 yards. He had 3 catches for 28 yards through the air. So that's, you know, that's okay. It's not winning you fantasy weeks. It's crappy fantasy percent. That whole Miami backfield, it's hard to trust in fantasy right now. But Raheem Mostert, you know, is a good guy to have. Again, for the same reasoning I like having Chase Edmonds on my bench, is because in case those things start materializing a little bit more, the rushing opportunities, then you want both of them. And then one, you might be able to pull up one of those in your roster down the road. If you have a light bench, you know, not, I would be a little bit apprehensive on it. But there's some wide receivers that I really like to add that are more speculative and not really going to help you right now. And this is for teams, leagues with a little bit deeper benches. But Rondell Moore, wide receiver for the Arizona Cardinals. He's been hurt. He'll either be back this week or next week probably. But we're seeing Greg Dortch get used a lot and putting up some decent little numbers there. He had four catches for 55 yards and a touchdown. I think that's how they want to use Rondell Moore. Rondell Moore is stronger. I think he's even more explosive and a little bit faster than Greg Dortch. Greg Dortch is a really slight framed guy, and they used a pretty high draft pick on Rondell Moore. So they want to involve him. He's just been hurt. I think a lot of that production that we're seeing from Greg Dortch is going to go to Rondell Moore. I think he could be a good guy to stash on your bench until he gets healthy. Another name like that would be, you know, you want to start looking at guys like Brian Robinson. You know, he might be back in a couple of weeks. You know, maybe not this week, maybe next week. You want to jump out there and grab him and stash him, because if we get him back, then he's a guy that we can run up the middle a little bit more. If by any chance J.K. Dobbins is on your waiver wire, you obviously want to pick him up. I doubt he is. Maybe there's a fantasy manager had him on the team, and since he, you know, hasn't been playing, maybe cut him. You never know. So always take a look at him. The only other wide receiver that I like this week is like Mac. You know, I like Mac Hollins a little bit from the Vegas Raiders. He had 8 targets, 5 catches, and 66 yards. 8 targets is a lot of targets. He had more targets than Devontae Adams.
Okay.
So Mac Hollins, you know, he's not the best wide receiver in the league, you know what I mean? But as far as depth and as far as having guys on your bench that have an opportunity, that's what you want. You want to look at usage, you want to look at targets, you want to look at carries, you want to look at all those things. Mac Hollins is the wide receiver 3 for the Vegas Raiders. And, you know, he's going to get some usage. So he's going to have boom weeks, too. If he scored a touchdown, it would have been a pretty big week for him.
Nice week for him, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, just like Noah Brown. Noah Brown had 5 catches for 91 yards and a touchdown for the Dallas Cowboys. You know, I don't really like hyping them up that much, but
yeah, 15 fantasy points.
You know, that's a good week, right, you know, right. And a lot of people, you know, Noah Brown, I actually liked him coming out of college. He's decent size, 6'2", I think 225. Pretty good all around receiver, like decent blocker. I liked him coming out. I was mocking him to the Commanders a little bit, but no, a lot of people didn't know his name until Sunday, and he had this big stat line, which is nice to see for the team, because they had a guy come out of nowhere. Now, a lot of people think that him and Cooper Rush had a lot of chemistry because they played on the practice squad for a little bit.
Chemistry there,
which makes sense. You know, that happens a lot. So. But either way, they're both going to be on the field for the next couple of weeks, at least until Dak comes back. So he's not a bad person to add either. You just won't see him at the top of my list because he's a Cowboy. You know?
Right. You know, I do want to tell the folks, when you're listening to all of this that Joey T has to say, these pickups, if they're available on your waiver wire, you've got to decide what kind of league you're in and how this works out best. Last week, Chelsea picked up Jeff Wilson Jr. from the 49ers and Curtis Samuel. They paid immediate dividends for her thanks to Joey T's advice. So like Joey's saying, some of these guys, and football's about matchups. You know, if you're playing against a stud run defense, the running back you pick up that week might not, you know, go off. But again, we're not doing knee-jerk reactions. It's matchups. It's, you know, you're digging down into some names that people don't know. And when you talk about a Noah Brown who no one knew before last week, that's 15 fantasy points that someone, you know, picked up last week in the 1.4% of the leagues where he's rostered. That number likely will go up now.
Yeah, I mean, the only league I saw him played in was my big guillotine league, which is like 18 teams.
And you got to pick somebody.
Super, right? Yeah, and this the manager of this team had lost Keenan Allen and Alvin Kamara for the week because of the injury. So he was forced to start somebody. So he started Noah Brown, and they even made a joke. They were like, who knew Noah Brown was going to, like, win me the week, you know?
Right.
So things like that. And, yes, like kind of like what I mentioned last week, guys like Jeff Wilson, Curtis Samuels,
they were available.
Automatic, like, pickups, and you could start them. Like, they had that kind of opportunity and that kind of target and, you know, touch share going into the week. But none of these guys that I mentioned today are projected to have that kind of production. Right, right. So I wouldn't necessarily rush to start a lot of these guys if you add them, unless you have serious injuries above you. But they are good guys to add because, you probably have guys sitting on your bench that aren't doing a whole lot. You know what I mean? Right. And those guys, you can start cutting for these guys. You know, one of my offseason favorites, and, you know, on my pre-draft podcast, I hyped up my boy Brian Edwards like always, and he's done nothing, you know?
Right.
So he's a guy that if he's on your bench, you know, you can cut for Matt Collins or Noah Brown or Darrell Williams or, you know, Benjamin or Raheem Mostert, you know, and, like, that would be a smart move.
You, I don't know if you remember if you mentioned it on the air or before we recorded, but you mentioned something about Jeff Wilson Jr. stock now going up even further because –
Well, Tyrion Davis Price, the rookie third-round running back for the San Francisco 49ers, got hurt. He has a high ankle sprain. So he's going to be out for a couple of weeks.
So Wilson's now, getting the load.
So you're looking at, with Eli Mitchell and Tyrion Davis Price both hurt for the, you know, next couple of weeks at least, you're going to have Jeff Wilson and then undrafted rookie running back Jordan Mason as the main two running backs on the 49ers. So I'm sure they'll pick up a veteran or sign somebody and add them to the squad. But I mean, Jeff Wilson looks to be the workhorse there. And if he's on your roster, I'm starting him.
Hey, you think Garoppolo's available in a lot of leagues? Is he going to have any worth to anyone now that he's in the starting position?
Well, again, we're talking about quarterback, one quarterback leagues. You know, you had said that Carson Wentz is still on the waiver wire in her league. If Carson Wentz is still on your waiver wire, you should pick him up. He's the wide receiver. He's the quarterback four on the week.
Okay.
So unless you have Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Mahomes.
Okay.
Then he's scored more fantasy points than your quarterback. So right. He should likely be on your team. You know what I mean? Right. Not to say you need to be cutting, you know, a big name QB for him, but like he needs to be on somebody. Has a worse quarterback situation than Carson Wentz. Yes. But, yes, a Garoppolo could be good. You know, I don't know. Again, in a one quarterback league, I'm not rushing to add him.
Okay.
You know, but I'm
on a bye week maybe, but other than that.
Yeah. On a bye week or if, you know, you have question marks. But, yeah, if you have Mahomes or Allen or or Wentz, you're not picking up Garoppolo and starting him above them.
What's up with ETN? He's not having the production.
So he's played two NFL games.
Right.
So if you look at the rookie running backs this year, like, none of them have done anything big either.
He's,
you know,
for all practical purposes, a rookie.
And he's essentially a rookie. And not only is a rookie, but he's sharing the backfield with the now clearly now healthy James Robinson.
Right.
And James Robinson, Travis Etienne was my favorite running back coming out of that class.
Okay.
I thought the Jacksonville Jaguars taking Etienne in the first round was an awful pick.
Okay.
One, because I told you, I think, in a previous podcast that I just don't believe in, you know, using first round capital on running backs because that it just doesn't translate well to wins
right.
on the field at that for that position. There's more important positions you should be drafting in the first round as a more premium positions. But the thing was, is James Robinson, who was like an undrafted rookie or like a seventh round rookie, had just had a monster season. So you knew you had a talented runner on the team. Why use a first round pick on a running back? You know what I mean? That just doesn't make sense.
Right.
If it was a team that didn't have a good running back already on the team, like you had a chance to have a really good running back for cheap, you know, and you could have added, you could have used that asset for a more valuable position, but you didn't. You used Travis Etienne, he got hurt. And then after that, James Robinson got hurt.
Right.
And you know what I mean? So then it just didn't make a lot of sense. So okay. Now you have a timeshare, you have a committee, Travis Etienne's a beast. He will do his work, but it's still early for him.
All right.
Breece Hall, Kenneth Walker,
I want you to tell people this stuff, you know, because they need to know, why isn't Etienne paying dividends? You know, well, be patient. He's a rookie still.
Yeah, I mean, really only rookie running backs, if they start heating up halfway through the year, end of the year, a lot of the times. I mean, sometimes the really talented guys like Najee Harris had a big year last year, but he also was the whole offense and was like, he was getting so many carries each week that he was, you know, almost bound to produce, you know. The year before that, we had Jonathan Taylor. But Jonathan Taylor even started off a little bit slow.
Now, do you have a philosophy? I don't know if you do. Do you have a philosophy with these rookie running backs, rookie wide receivers? Is there a wall they hit where usually my college season would be over by now, but there's additional games to play? I know in the NBA we see that after about 50 games, those rookies hit the wall because their college careers, they weren't playing 82 games plus a preseason plus postseason. Do you see that in the NFL?
Maybe
after 8 or 10 games.
I've seen some things like that before, but it's really hard to tell right now because, like I said, rookie running backs, a lot of times they start hitting their stride closer to the end of the year. And running and wide receivers are, you know, a lot of them are producing early. You know, and they're going strong. I mean, right now, this rookie class, a lot of people are hating on it, you know.
Okay.
And we have Garrett Wilson, Drake London, Jahan Dotson.
I mean, only you know these names.
Treylon Burks. No, not only. A lot of people know these names. These guys were all first-round picks, and right. They're all producing immediately. Even
good.
Chris Olave is getting a lot of usage and running a lot of routes. He hasn't really had a big fantasy week yet. But that's going to come, you know. But these first-round rookie wide receivers that everybody kind of was, like, saying were not that good, they're really good. And they're actually almost all of them are, aside from Olave and maybe Treylon Burks, are wide receiver twos and from a fantasy perspective.
Olave got 13 targets.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot for a rookie, right?
Yeah, but I think the problem was that Jameis was a little dinged up. He's got this back issue right now.
Is he ever not dinged up?
No, he gets dinged up a lot. But I think that kind of – I didn't watch the game, but I have a feeling – and I mean, I'm not to say that Olave didn't maybe drop, you know, didn't, you know, right. whatever. But I would assume that some of the targets were off target because of the back injury.
Well, he 5 for 13. I mean, he got five receptions on 13 targets. He had a 51-yard and averaged 16 yards per reception. So,
well, that's going to be his bread and butter. Is his
long
big,
ball
big? Yeah, his deep threat ability. And the thing is I think if I'm not mistaken, Jameis Winston has like fractures in his back.
Ouch!
So in my theory, and I was texting my boy because I was trying to figure out if I should start Jarvis Landry before, you know, Sunday. And I was thinking, my thought process was that he would dump it off to Landry in the short to intermediate part of the field because that's an easier throw.
Dunks and dunks, yeah.
Then when you pull that ball back and you have to like unleash it, you're using more of your torso and your back and your hips.
Which
and
might
stuff.
Not be 100%
And
for
that
him.
Might be harder for him. So that's why I thought that the downfield stuff was going to be a little bit more difficult.
What the heck is it like in your house on a Sunday? You're texting people. You got the laptop open. You're watching football, watching Red Zone. What's going on over there, Joey?
I mean, I got the TV on. I look at my fantasy matchups. You know, that's why I start neglecting Twitter a little bit. I don't get to see as much of my Twitter.
I haven't seen a tweet. I mean, I'm just saying, I haven't seen that regular action from you.
Like I said, I got a lot of different things I'm monitoring. And this week I had the kids home and, you know, I'm trying to teach Olivia a little bit about the game, trying to get her to, like, you know.
Wait a minute. Do I see future fantasy manager?
I hope so.
Fantasy manager on her resume?
That would be like, you know, that would be my dream, you know.
And so she has to play you.
That would be great. I would love to play against her. I would love to.
You better watch what you ask for.
Drop Thor's hammer on her head, you know.
Let her know who's boss, man.
She ain't gonna get no freebies around here.
She don't want that work?
No, you gotta win yourself, you know.
Okay.
You gotta wanna win and you gotta be competitive and you gotta, you know, be hungry.
I wait for the day. I wanna see that. I wanna see fantasy manager Olivia.
I'll be so hyped.
You got a beautiful
hyped.
Family, man. I'm loving watching those girls grow up. Olivia's got that personality, too, man.
She's fiery.
I saw some first day of school pictures. I saw some.
She's fiery, man. She's fiery. She's friendly. Right. She's funny. She's cute.
No, that's your girl. So she's your QB1.
Yeah.
She's your QB1.
Yeah. The twins are more like wide receivers because they're divas.
One and two? Well, you can't give anybody two.
They don't listen to nobody.
Give one wide receiver one and tight end one. Maybe we do that? Or
One could be an X receiver and one could be a Z receiver.
Okay, see, I don't know. I don't know these.
I think
you're going deep into the fantasy world now.
Yeah, I think one will be on the slot on the inside and one will be on the outside.
Slot, so she's going to get the crossing route, bam, but you got to watch when you throw it to her because there might be a DB coming. Smack, you don't want to see that.
What
about, let's go Buffalo, they though.
The Bills are looking pretty for real, man.
What about the Eagles? Do we need to be worried about them Eagles?
Of course we do. We got to be worried about the damn Giants, too.
Who are 2-0? 2-0 Giants are?
You know, we should be 2-0, too.
Right.
And people should be worried about us, but.
We can't give up a 15-point hole, though. We can't, I mean, what was it, 15 or maybe 22? Is it 22 zip at the half?
The first half of football for the Commanders was one of the worst first half of football I've seen.
Absolutely.
We couldn't block anybody on offense.
Sure couldn't.
Carson Wentz, even though I think he's having a great year, one of the best years I've seen from a quarterback here in a long time, he was not getting the ball out as fast as he should have been because of the pressure coming in. And then our defense couldn't stop anybody. But what worried me the most was offensive line not being just giving up so much pressure. I mean, you have to week one we did great in the pressure in the blocking department, and week two, at least the first half of week two, the second half was a whole different game.
Right.
And I don't know if that was because Jacksonville was playing a little bit more prevent, but we were able to do some things and move the ball a little bit. But I think. It really took a lot of the helium out of my balloon, man. I was really stoked. I was hoping to go into the Eagles game 2-0, and then the Eagles did put up a number against the Vikings were projected to be a really good team this year. Not to say they're not, but you know the Eagles put in that work. So I mean they're strong and. I do think the Giants might be pretending a little bit, but we'll see what happens there.
All right, so here's my question then. Bigger surprise, the Dolphins at 2-0 or the Giants at 2-0?
Giants.
Okay, all right.
I mean, once you add Tyreek Hill to Jalen Waddle, and, I mean, you, like, the Dolphins, they're doing what they was intended to do.
With their roster construction.
Right? Like, people weren't sure if Tua can handle it, but he's handling it. So that's happening. A lot of people, I mean, the Giants, their big name, their big money wide receiver, Kenny Golladay, only got two, snaps.
Okay.
So, they're either trying to teach him a lesson, or maybe they're just surrendering of the L, on that signing because they're like, this dude sucks, and We're just going to have to eat that money, and we're going to have to win by playing our other guys, you know. But, yeah, the Giants are surprised. They're surprising.
All right, bigger surprise. Bengals at 0-2.
Bengals.
Or can I finish? Can I finish? Bengals at 0-2 or the Eagles at 2-0?
Bengals.
Really? You expected more out of them, huh?
Yeah, well, the Eagles people expected to be good this year, so 2-0 is not.
How does the whole AFC South only have one win amongst all four teams? That's just the ugly division, isn't it?
I don't know, but the Bengals blew me because I lost my survivor pool.
Stop. You feeling personal on this one?
I was angry, Young. I was angry. I picked them. I thought they're going against Cooper Rush, backup quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys. The Cowboys looked anemic week one with Dak, much less Cooper Rush. And the
Cooper
Bengals
just wins games when he starts for the first time.
I was not happy with that one.
How about them Cardinals in that overtime win over the Raiders?
There was some wild football this weekend.
There was some wild football this weekend.
Wild football. These teams. I mean, the Miami came back like to a huge deficit.
Right.
My boy Hansi, who I shouted out last week, he's a Ravens fan, and he was like texting me the whole first three quarters of the game talking about Lamar Jackson.
Who did well in his own right.
Who did great, you're right. But then, you know, those stats don't mean nothing if your team doesn't close it out.
That's the defense we talked about earlier.
I was shocked because I stopped even paying attention because I was like, you know, I was like sitting here thinking that game was over. And then all of a sudden I started seeing those numbers tick back up. And I was like, oh. My text messages started being, I don't know, something broke or something, but my boy Hansi wasn't texting me.
He wasn't texting you so much anymore?
Yes.
Hansi, where you go, brother?
I think my phone broke, you know?
You said shout out. Who do you want to shout out this week?
This week, I'll probably give my boy Jared Johnson a little love. You know, he's in my guillotine with me.
Right.
And, his team put it, he kind of was the matchup I was going against, even though. Guillotine leagues are a lot of fun. I recommend people doing them if they can make it happen. The way they work is you get 18 teams, one for each week of the regular season, and you draft. And then, at least the one that I'm in, there's no trades, right? So then after each week, you're not really playing against anybody. It's just whoever the lowest scoring points are for that week gets eliminated.
Okay.
And then all their players go back into the pool.
You have to draft again?
No. Well, you can they're like waiver wires.
Okay, yeah. They're players.
So like this
not
week,
everyone's
this
players,
week,
I'm
like
sorry.
Austin Eckler is going to be a waiver wire ad because, and he's like one of the top running backs in the league.
You going to be right there to get him?
I don't know. We'll see what's up. I might.
You can't give all your secrets out.
I might gamble. We'll see. But Jared's squad went nuts this week. All the players, like I hated on his Zach Ertz pick, and Zach Ertz I think was the tight end three on the week, and. He just had his whole team blew up and
Shout out to Jared. Let's give Jared a little love there.
Let's
give Jared a little love there. I'm gonna give a shout out to Paula Chelsea and Adam, my man Ron Perel, Gene the barber down at Max Life Barber and Salon, Sean Parker, and of course, Sean and his wife Alana. They sent me $50 last night. They bet on the Titans. How do you bet on the Titans versus the Bills opening day in Buffalo on Monday Night Football? They bet against the Bills. They do live in Tennessee. They took their Titans in. Well, I've got some money in my Cash App account now.
Yikes, that's rough. I mean, I would make that kind of bet
off emotion only
because of my fandom, you know.
Right.
$50 might be a little much. I might have been talked you down to 20.
You would have talked me down.
Well, let's put a dub on it. Call it a day.
I get it.
That was steep for that kind of because I would not have. Was it straight up too? There was no line or anything. You ain't give them no points.
Nope.
Oh yeah. That was a rough bet.
That was a rough bet. Be sure to check out Joey T at Capital Grill downtown Washington, D.C. There's some fine dining waiting for our listeners down at Capital Grill. So go see my man Joey T. He doesn't save you a seat, though. You don't save me seats, Joey?
Only Curtis Cross gets saved seats, John.
But go ahead.
It's getting dusty.
Wow.
It's dusty, man.
So here's my question. When I get down there, you're going to give me credit, though, right? You're going to give me credit?
Of course.
Look at that. Look at that money I got right there.
Oh, snap.
Last night, I got my money.
5-0.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I got that Cash App. Joey, what else you want to tell the people before we get out of here?
Not much, man. You know, just keep grinding, man. It's a long season. Don't get discouraged, you know. And good luck this week.
We want to thank all of you for listening to the 2-Minute Drill. Each week, we will join you on all of your favorite podcast platforms, including Spotify, Buzzsprout, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, Apple Podcasts, and others. So be sure to tune in, and we will see you next time. He's Joey T. I'm Kurt Cross. We'll see you next week.
The 2-Minute Drill is a football fantasy podcast and is not meant to encourage betting or wagering. Any stats or tips mentioned are for entertainment purposes only. Joey T and your host, Kurt Cross, do not condone or endorse sports betting or wagering.